Role Playing Grenade is making an action horror podcast. Violent imagery, adult language, and graphic situations may occur. And as such, listener discretion is advised.
If it sounds off, remember there's also latency, so you're just hearing.
Discord.
Yep. And once you get all the audio together, all the audio files together, you should be fine.
It's true. All we need is that clap to tell us where everything is.
Yep. Well, and I kind of had to smack myself in the face because I have push to talk on.
Oh, Two Fist.
No, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So here's what we'll do. We are missing Tyler, but we'll start with Adam. And when he hops in here, we'll start recording in Discord. This is the first ever recording of the session zero of what will hopefully be the podcast for the Role Playing Grenade Knights Black Agent's actual play podcast. Knights Black Agent is a spy thriller vampire conspiracy podcast using the Gumshoe system. It's written by Kenneth Haidt. It is awesome. I've been wanting to play it for a long time, and just like everybody who ever wants to play a game and doesn't know anyone else who plays it, I have to run a game. So we're going to do it this way. My name is Ryan. I am the game master. In this game, I am called the director. And if we kind of want to go around and say hey to everybody, let's start with Hunter.
Hi, I'm Hunter O'Gwynn. I'm going to be doing a bad impersonation of Taika Waititi playing his character.
Jacob.
My name is Jacob Mockby. I'm going to do my best to play Yitzhak Samir, a Mossad burner.
And Wes.
Yeah, my name's Wes. I haven't really decided who exactly I'm going to play yet. It will either be Leopold Dupont, a potential strung-out medic, or Strom Alexander, a classic cuckoo.
I do have medic very much covered if you want to go with a classic cuckoo.
Yeah, and that's something that like kind of wanted to kind of hash out there, because the medic I was thinking of is less like classic medic and more like Frenchie from The Boys.
Okay, so you're going with like really strong in the chemistry route.
Yeah, tinkering, like explosives is something I was looking at, and then can patch people up as needed.
Do you have the character sheets up?
I literally have two printed out with the two characters kind of fabricated.
No. I mean the actual spreadsheet that Ryan popped up for us.
Oh, no.
Because you can look at our characters on there.
Ooh-wee. I need to do that.
Yeah, I think it's in the email. Basically, I'm playing a goofy mortician.
Oh, nice. Yeah, the Strom Alexander guy I made, he's like part cuckoo, part driver. So he'd be like the slick-talking driver.
I like that.
Yeah, I don't think we have a really good driver. Like, okay, Jacob has driving 2. I have driving 1 because I drive a car. we're basic drivers. So having like a professional driver would be
dope.
Well,
so yeah, the way this game works too is having a point in something means that you are trained in it as a secret agent, spy, intelligence operative would be. Like driving 1 means that you are more than just a competent, 9-to-5 freeway driver. You can do dangerous things in a car. Obviously, the more points you have, the more you can do it. The way this game works is you use those points you have in your abilities to allow yourself to do more and interesting things or to get greater effect on rolling 1d6.
Gotcha, because I have a 10 in driving on the guy that I set up.
Damn.
Yeah, no. Hell yeah. Then yeah, I don't need a driving point. I'm good then. Unless it pops up, I'll just keep that point.
You need one point in driving just to be a passenger, turns out.
What?
Otherwise you just
otherwise
you don't even know how to put on a seatbelt. You just fly right out.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, oh no.
So I'm opening that in Sheets right now just to be on the same page as everybody.
Fuck it. I'm going to go full 10 on my fucking medic. Might as well be a goddamn superhero.
Yeah, so instead of being like super broad strokes, I went broad strokes on my the more technical abilities, but on the general abilities, like I just kind of focused like 5 or 6 main things.
Yeah, when you get to the tabs, you can like check out everyone else's stats, stat allotments.
So, and I can't do the quick math, and I apologize if you guys covered this. I just got interrupted by a fun little boy. Jacob, did you spend all 70 of your general ability points?
I have spent 69.
Okay. Wait, 70?
Yeah, 70.
Yeah, you get 70 in the general abilities, 24 in the
Oh, it's 24, okay.
Other abilities.
Yeah.
In what? Your, oh, yeah.
I was looking at your character, nothing in shooting, nothing in hand-to-hand. Nothing.
I have 8 weapons. Huh? I have 8 weapons.
You have 8 weapons. And you have a scalpel. So, Lord knows you are going to fuck a zombie up.
I'm going to cut a bit, but that means I'm actually missing points because I thought it was 65. Okay, so 70. So I got 5 extra points. Okay, so 10 extra points total. And investigative abilities, it's not. I thought it was it 20 or 22?
4, I think, with 4 people.
24 with 4 people.
22 investigative build points.
Yeah, 22 investigative build points, and then the 2 free ones you get for...
You have 1 in Streetwise and 1 in Tradecraft, and you can't move those. They stay there.
Okay. No. Then, yeah, it's the 22 with those 2 of the 24. Yes. Okay, cool. Because I have 2 extra points from having high skills in general.
See, and that's what I was wondering, because that's the thing I don't know how to do yet, is the... having your general abilities at a certain amount.
So if you have over 8 in certain skills, like if I have over 8 in medic, so it gave me 1 extra point in like forensic pathology or something like that. I can't remember which ones are what. But,
diagnosis.
But if you look at each individual stat, yeah, diagnosis, thank you. So if you look at, if you just go in the book and look at the stat, it'll actually tell you at a higher level at 8, you can... get an extra point in this.
Yeah,
it's like
look into that.
Old school synergy in 3.5.
Well, it's they call 6. Them cherries, and it's to reward people who specialize. Like in, I think shooting. If you have a shooting of 8+, you're able to do. In fact, let's find out what the cherry is on shooting.
Well, like the cherry for weapons at 8 or higher is I'm adept at throwing with no negatives in near positions.
Yeah.
And for anything that's balanced, like it's like a balanced knife, a tomahawk, this, that. And I'm like, yeah, dude, weapon of opportunity. That's I'm all about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hunter, if we're going to look at your character, because you're first.
Yeah.
Let's go over this. So your name is?
I'm Tain Walker. That's TaynWaaka. And for all those out there, actual Kiwis, if I'm butchering it too much, I do apologize. And if you've got any fancy lingo you want to send our way, I'll gladly use it. Or any lingo I shouldn't use, I'll also note not to do that.
The only thing I know about Australia is all they ever say is cunt.
I'm not Australian, I'm New Zealand.
They're neighbors.
Yeah, alright. It's like saying you're Canadian.
Some days I wish, you know?
I mean, don't we all?
Your sources of stability. You know, what is your symbol? In this game, sources of stability are
so
used
I've got a,
mid-mission.
Got a wedding ring. I've got a wedding ring with my wife and daughter's name engraved in it. And my solace is my mother-in-law, who hates me, but knows I didn't murder my wife and child. She just thinks she could have done better than a mortician, was all.
So, and that is because you were, historically, you have been, are you framed, or are you just under suspicion for having committed murder?
I was framed. I was, I was framed for committing the murder of my wife and child, and I had to flee the country.
Okay, so they are both dead.
Okay. Yes.
And you don't know who framed you, or why?
No, my drives are mystery, atonement, and revenge. I definitely want to find out who, and definitely put them away and clear my name.
Okay.
But it's been kind of a hopeless battle, and he's got a very devil may care attitude at this point, very kind of nihilistic.
Okay. And you have found yourself now out of New Zealand, in the European intelligence underground.
Yes. Getting in touch with my mother-in-law's, deceased husband. She contacted his old contacts, 'cause she's a Jewish Ukrainian woman. And put him into contact with some shadier underbelly folk who could get him medical work under the table.
So is that what you've just been doing? Have you just been like a black market doctor for the last 2 or 3 years?
Yes. Yeah, I've been like taking bullet holes out of suspicious characters, or identifying like when it's like who killed my man. Well, it looks like right here someone used a nice thick curved knife. You finally, you know, you probably see these with the Bocce brothers. They tend to use the nice hatchets with the nice long curves.
That's perfect.
So he's kind of like the forensic mortician, black market medic guy. And he doesn't like it, but it's out of necessity.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Okay.
Nice. Yeah, that's rad.
He's got, for contacts, he's got Jamie Walker, the med tech that snuck him out of New Zealand. And Ivan Kravitz is the UK underground contact, for the underground, shady business.
So you don't have to make your contacts now.
Oh, I know, but I figured these are just handy.
Did you just burn some general points for these people?
I have some extra points left over.
I will tell you, like, you can just not save those points if you need them, you have them. Because we might never go to New Zealand.
Oh, I don't... Hey, okay.
The way the game is played, like, is all I'm thinking. Like, for safety, you know?
Right, but I'm thinking it's like, ah, but I could call them, contact them to maybe, like, you know, can you get information on this? I need to not have it traced to me.
We'll find out, okay. If you want to...
But I'll delete it if you feel like I should
just
delete
recommend
it.
From what I know of the game so far.
It's like callbacks and
it really is. A lot of this stuff is.
You don't want to burn it before you absolutely know you need to burn it.
Because those 2 points, you could decide in the middle of the game that, yo, I need points in gambling right now because I am the guy at a table and I have to lose this hand for some reason.
Hit, sir, you're at 21. Hit me!
Hey, man.
I thought you play right, right? You're supposed to hit at 21, right?
And always double down on 11.
Shit. You always get a double scotch on 11. Roger that.
This is going to be wonderful.
I'll take a double.
Let's see.
My safety is my old family home. the sheep farm in New Zealand.
Okay. Perfect.
Jesus, I love it.
I mean, you can't go anywhere without running into a sheep farm. I mean, they outnumber the people per capita. That's a true statement, not a lie. Not even making that up.
It sounds like something you would make up.
Oh no, it's true. It's why they made that movie Black Sheep, where it's about zombie sheep. It's because it's terrifying. Because it's literal. They outnumber us. It's terrifying.
Let's see.
That would be terrifying.
It's a wonderful movie. It's made by the same effects crew that worked on Peter Jackson's classics like Dead Alive.
Nice. Very nice.
Super gory. Slash stick. Very slash stick.
Yeah, dude. Dead Alive. Amazing. Amazing movie. For all those listening, go and watch it.
Goriest movie ever made. Wonderful lawnmower scene.
The best lawnmower scene ever.
I think we've got a good handle on Tane Waka.
And do the points look okay? I've got like 10 saved up in general then and 4 in my investigative.
That's what you've got left over?
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, if we want to move out, and check on Yitzhak. Jacob, why don't you tell me about Yitzhak?
Well, I haven't worked it all out yet, but Yitzhak Zemir is a Mossad agent specializing in catching fled Nazi officers that have gone to places like South America or to Western Asia, etc., specifically in Argentina and Greece and areas like that. He is a bang and burner. He's an arsonist. He thinks that fire is the cleansing method by which to catch these people. And he's also a cleaner, and he doesn't like to get caught because he's acting in a clandestine nature in countries that are not necessarily sympathetic to the state of Israel. So he likes to burn shit and not get caught for it.
So what happened? Why aren't you with Mossad anymore?
Well, my drive is mystery, and I'm not 100% on whether or not this character is aware of the existence of...
They are not. The way we're starting, nobody is.
They are not. Okay. Okay, excellent. Okay. Well, then in that case, I guess he just has some serious doubts about some of these Nazi officers and some strange things that may or may not have happened when they were burned. Of course, of which there is no evidence.
How did you end up in the kind of underground intelligence community of Europe?
I was thinking that Yitzhak was a German-born Jew and that he survived the Holocaust and got out while the getting was good and got some fucking
revenge. How old are you? So here's, I'm going to throw a wrench in your gears. It's 2019.
Sure. Oh, okay. Okay. So it's not.
So you're. We are not in the Cold War.
Roughly
no.
98 years old.
He's killing it. He's
you
killing
could straight. You could be 65, 70 years old.
Oh, okay.
If you want to be cool. An old man.
Yeah. Okay. I'm cool with that.
Still hunting the old German officers that have gone into hiding.
None of those left, unless they're vampires.
I mean, if you were, you know, born in 1930, you know, you're 85 yeah. years old.
That's rough.
If you were born in 1942. You're 77.
Great grandfather vampire hunter. Nazi vampire hunter. That is a movie I would watch.
Go on. Well, there's the guy that killed Bigfoot. And then
yeah, I watched that. That was a good movie.
It's solid.
I have to do some math real fast.
I think we're going to have to change this to him hunting the PLO.
Kind of feels like an Alan Quartermain type of feel, but with against Nazi vampires.
Yeah,
like I know their faces and they haven't changed over the years. They're burned into my memory. I've tried to kill them multiple times over the years, but they keep escaping. God, yeah. Who would you cast in that film?
Definitely Sam Elliott.
See, I was thinking about going with Christoph Waltz, since he was the Jew hunter, make him now the Nazi.
There's a movie that I have not seen that is about some old killer with dementia, and he's like 75, 80 years old. He's been hunting Nazis his whole life for Israel, and he has like one last job, and he needs his friend who has not had dementia to help him keep him straight, and his friend's like no, and it's like this deep thriller sort of fucking movie.
Is it real or not?
And I really want to see it. I think it's on Netflix or HBO. I saw it and I was like, that looks super good. Put on my list and never watched it. Depending on how old you want to be, Jacob, I mean, yeah, you could be... Mm-hmm. I mean, you could have been hunting and fighting PLO and Egyptian and terrorists for the past 30 years. You know?
I'm down with that.
And you'd be in your 60s, just because that makes you a little bit more survivable, maybe.
Cool. About it.
We can talk a little bit about whether, I mean, it's, I think the odds of you being 65 years old and still active are pretty low, but you could very well just easily have retired and just kept up doing that on the side.
Right. As a consultant. Quote,
yeah.
Unquote.
Like,
fair enough. A fire consultant.
You're a mercenary.
You know, and you just keep an ear out for whoever you want.
Hired by the American government or whatever government.
Make a phone call now and again because, you know, a name pops up and you're like, that's a very familiar name that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
If you're okay with that. I don't want to tell you what your character's backstory is, like, really at all.
No. I'm down. That sounds good.
Plus, yeah, the idea of like a 65-year-old old arsonist bomb maker is pretty fucking dope, dude.
Oh, play him like that guy from the Atlantis movie. You know, the guy who likes to blow up things.
Just like this. No more mountain in our way.
Gunpowder opens every lock.
I like that.
Well, my guy's just standing there with literal lockpicks. You son of a bitch.
So how about point distribution? Should I have points saved over afterwards? I've got 2 investigative points saved, I believe, and 1 build point at this point, but those can all be altered as well, depending on what's best.
So you can kind of make that call. One hope in this, and why we build this collaboratively, or why you're supposed to just kind of sit down and build it collaboratively is what they recommend, is so that you guys can cover as many of these abilities as possible. You know, ideally, you know, someone have a point in accounting or law, pharmacy, notice, cryptography, astronomy.
Yeah, see, and that's with the spy abilities, I went really broad stroked. You know, like ones every now and again, a 2. Like I have almost every single interpersonal ability, except for intimidation. I'm not about that.
I don't think any of us have intimidation. Now that I look at it,
I have 1.
Oh, you got 1. Okay, good. That'll good. Good.
That'll do.
Yeah, because I don't have anything either.
I could definitely up that. Scary old man with a lighter. I'm about it. Start putting like tissues between people's toes and shit, light on fire. I get some points in intimidation.
Lift fingernails just enough to put a matchstick under.
Yep. Watch it burn down.
That's terrifying. And now my fingers hurt. Okay. Let's talk about what a symbol is in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Let me go find the actual page and I'll read it.
Tell us more. Does it have
meaning? I think a symbol should have meaning. You know, I think that maybe symbol means something that means something, you know?
Usually I just use it to like make a loud sound on my drum set.
Similar but different symbols. I think we're talking about synonyms.
Homonyms.
No, not, definitely not that.
Symbols are on page 36.
Oh, thank you. That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So the symbol is a non-human representation of something or someone you value. Religious medal or crucifix, your country's flag or your father's dog tag. Seeing it or handling it reminds you of why you stay in the fight. So the symbol should ideally be somehow connected to your drive.
Okay.
So your symbol being an engraved silver cigarette lighter, which is dope.
Mm-hmm.
Right now your drive is mystery.
Okay.
Just think of how that kind of connects. What is the mystery you're looking for, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm going to have to alter that, honestly.
Okay.
Considering the change in time period, I think that changing the drive would be best.
Okay.
I'll have to update that.
Let's talk about your solace. Christina Perón.
Mm-hmm.
Who can say an Argentinian travel agent? Tell me about her. Why am I talking?
Well, no, that's totally fine. I'm sort of playing it by ear at this point. The thought was that she was connected in the hunting, which is still very possible. Although I may change the nationality if that's the case and have it be more European-centric. If it's going to be like an associate with connections hunting the PLO or something like that from the past, then probably move that to somewhere in Europe. No, I'm not sure. I haven't really fleshed it out yet.
Okay. And this is all stuff, too, that we can text and talk about cool. and finalize Excellent. Before, you know, our session 1.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I definitely like the idea on where this is going and what you're doing with it, dude. This is dope.
Thank you. Again, there. Between picking up extra shifts and being on crutches, progress has been slow.
Hey, man, that'll happen, you know?
It happens.
That will happen.
You don't need...
that's kind of the motto around here.
Do you need crutches to sit at a computer?
No, but I do have them, and they are right next to me. Before, I was using a stick from mushroom picking and a 12-gauge shotgun, and it was not nearly as successful.
We were making it work. Like
it,
you sound like a freaking hillbilly druid when you say that.
That is exactly what I am, and I appreciate you.
I love it.
I've never heard your description distilled down so eloquently, but it was really good.
Well, I appreciated it. I am indeed the hillbilly druid. What about gear? Do you have to spend points for weapons and armor and things like that? I'm sorry, I didn't get that far.
No, you're good. In gear. There are things called caches where, let me find that page too. The cache is a really cool mechanic.
If you have over 8 in preparedness, you get a cache that you can stash a bit of goods inside and
that's
keep
cool.
you separated.
Very cool.
So
I
everyone
have
can,
that.
Yeah, everyone can kind of pull something out. The person who has the cache can take 2 items. Everyone else can pull 1. and say in there is, you know, I need a P90 and it's in this cache.
What about starting gear though?
Starting gear, I don't actually know about it. I'm looking for it right now. It might just be like some things you need. Let's see. What makes sense? A lot of this game is about like what makes sense for you to have.
So like kind of, you know, be sensible.
Well, it might also be like, what do you need right now in the game? Like,
I want a medic bag.
94. Like, you're a doctor. You should, yeah, I think you have, like, it just makes sense for you to have one.
I need a
Hawaiian shirt, some khaki shorts, some Birkenstocks, and a lab coat.
That's just how you live your life, my man.
Well, sometimes it's a kimono. It's comfortable.
Fair enough.
Okay. So, if you go to page 94 in the Knights Black Agents core rulebook.
Copy.
Under the nice header of hand wave it, it says, this is not your first rodeo. Your agents have been operating the Shadow World for years. They already have some gear available to them, at least one relatively secure stash. You can assume possession of pretty much any conventional genre-appropriate item that preparedness doesn't cover. For the rest, there's preparedness. So, preparedness is how we get things like cash. A lot of things you can just buy. Anything expensive, you have to either find in a cache, steal, build from parts, or use network. You call a network and say, what I need is an air-gapped computer. So I'm going to put a point in contact. I know a guy who works in a hardware, you know, in an electronics store. And I'm going to go see Peter and he's going to get me this computer I need. And that's how you spent the money, quote unquote, to buy it. This is not really a keep track of all the funds game unless we want it to be. I don't necessarily want it to be.
Fair.
It makes for interesting storytelling at times, but it can also get really nickel-dimey.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to argue with you guys about, no, I'm sorry, you don't have enough funds to fly across the continent when the mystery is taking you across the continent or across the ocean.
That's fair.
It might be that you have to spend a contact point to say, I got to get through customs, but at least I know somebody on the other side. And they're going to, you know, we're going to take a C-130 in old military and get there that way.
Sick.
So, I mean, it can be reasonably assumed that you all have, you know, a pistol. Even the doctor who might never pull it probably has one available. You know, a first aid kit, because you've got 10 points in medic. You've got a first aid kit.
Yeah, I've got a med kit, a doctor's bag,
you don't have a surgical suite.
I tend not to have a what now?
You probably don't have a surgical suite, you know, but you've got a room where you can do doctoring in.
Yeah, it's called my apartment.
I hope you have a lot of antibacterial.
Oh, you bet. You know, I mean, especially in the days of COVID.
this is 2019. This is pre-COVID, thank God. We're just going to hand wave that, my friend.
And you did say antibacterial, I mean, which wouldn't do any good against it.
You would need an antiviral. I think we've got Yitzhak Zemir pretty well covered.
Get in there. He'll be ready.
Rock and roll,
I like
man.
Him.
Let's jump over Tyler to Wes.
That's
let's
me.
Let's talk about Strom Alexander.
Yeah, that's his name. Don't wear it out.
We couldn't hear it.
Strom Alexander. Basically former DEA. He did a lot of undercover ops and infiltrating drug organizations, kind of just to get the foot in the door to get somebody else in. He's really good at that first impression to kind of set the assurance for people coming in. He's retired. He didn't get burned. He just kind of decided to quit going along and putting himself in harm's way.
How old are you?
Like 42.
Okay.
So that Ryan Gosling picture needs a little gray on the sides.
Everyone should have a good gray wing on the side of their head. Looks distinguished.
Yeah, I could just put Cyril Figgis there, but I don't know if that quite be what we're looking for. But yeah, so it's fun. I picked this without hearing or reading what Jacob's symbol was, but mine's a lucky lighter. For my very first mission, my partner said that I needed something that I could always have on me that could start a fire in case I needed to get away, or just to prove that I was ready to go, you know, because a lot of times you got to do some unsavory things undercover. So just having a lighter on me at all times is something that my partner gave me, so I always have it on me.
What happened to your partner?
Oh, he's still in the DEA. He's moved his way up. He got out of the front lines and he's made his way to a desk and he's ordering people around.
Okay. So It says your drive is to end the war on drugs. Can we talk about that?
Yeah. So I'm a firm believer in a type of sobriety. basically, my thought process here is, you know, when I was younger, growing up, seeing a lot of people destroy their lives through, you know, various drugs. And that's what drove me to become a DEA agent, was to help stop drugs getting in the hands of kids. And so that's why I kind of joined up, and that was my drive to get into the DEA. And so that's always been my drive, what I wanted to do as an agent.
Oh, okay. We're gonna have problems there, mate.
I think out of the list of drives, that sounds the most like altruism. I mean, you got in this job to do good. You still want to do good, sounds like.
Yeah. So should I change that?
I mean, just put altruism dash and the war on drugs. Because if that is kind of your, like, the personal arc is you want to, you know, affect national policy on the drug front. Yeah, get it. And, you know, damage that system wherever it is.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, cause damage. You got it. Fuck drug dealers, according to Strom Alexander.
I'm here to fuck shit up. And that's what I'm here to do.
Oh, my God. Your solace.
Dude, that's my boy, old Tom. He's been a bartender at the Sticks going on 40 years. I've known him since before I was allowed to drink, but he still let me in the bar.
Okay. Where is the Sticks?
That's a great question. My guess is it's going to be in a bigger city, somewhere like Chicago.
So you are in Europe.
Cool.
And just so you guys know, you are starting in Kiev.
Good old Kev.
Kiev.
Good old Kevin.
I see no reason why Tom can't be an expat bartender who lives in the Ukraine.
Yeah, that's fair.
So,
see, I didn't know exactly where we're starting, so I just picked a big city and hoped I was close. I clearly,
wow, we got a session zero,
clearly,
bro.
Clearly, I was not.
You got to remember, only the paying Patreon members are going to be hearing this crap, which we appreciate you being a patron member and listening to our crap. We appreciate you, but this is you know the crap session, guys. It's fine.
I have not even made a Patreon. I've not even thought of making a Patreon yet. We have a Twitter, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have a Twitter. You can find us at RoleplayingGrenadePod on Twitter. And email us at RoleplayingGrenadePod@gmail.com.
Boom. Headshot.
I'm going to move that to the front. Boom. Note to self, edit that to the front.
Build new intros.
So, let's see. And then your safety, you know, your the place you would go when the world dies is the bar, Sticks.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It's called Sticks because there's a big stick above the bar. Some say it's still loaded. No one's sure.
Is it just like an old like Zawavi rifle?
Nope, just a stick. Regular.
Just a stick.
It's your version of the Winchester.
Yeah, maybe.
Nice Shaun of the Dead reference, maybe. Mate. Love it. Brava. Oh, you might want to move that one point you have in vampirology. None of us know this yet.
Oh, gotcha.
That's a big deal. No one knows there's vampires right now.
Oh,
you all live in the world we live in now, just in the intelligence side of it. The world is darker. It is meaner. You've all spent at least the last 3 years, 3 to 4 years, in the intelligence underground, doing mercenary work, contract work, for whoever pays according to your individual, what's the word I'm thinking of? Codes. You also all work together. And there will be a fourth member of your squad, Tyler. It looks like Tyler's got a character named Tyson Garris, who's a black bagger and hacker. Used to work for the CIA.
God, I hate those guys.
Did we cover MOSs, by the way?
I don't like Moss. It goes everywhere.
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Hunter, your MOS is medic.
Basically, it's like one free get out of jail, whatever medical need you have, you beat.
Exactly. You can kind of tune your MOS once per session to just kind of pass a test. In medic, that means if there's a particularly gruesome wound that, you know, you could roll a die for or spend points, or you have to diagnose something potentially that could be used with medic, you can just say, I'm going to invoke my MOS and pass it. No problem.
Yep, that's definitely your grundle.
Jacob, what's your MOS, buddy?
I think it'd have to probably be either explosive Ooh. Devices or concealed.
Both those are good, really.
Both are good. Infiltration, I don't think, would really make a ton of sense. I mean, I guess it could.
Basically,
but
what do you want your Hail Mary on?
It's got to be just setting shit on fire, man.
I want to make sure this goes boom without any interference.
I really have to make sure it catches on fire. That's kind of my thing. And also note, I've updated my photo to a very angry Jeff Bridges.
I'm a big fan.
Oh, dude, you make me so happy.
I'm going to drop that joint in his, he's going to drop the joint in his own lap, and then the entire car is going to explode. That's how good he is at his job.
My man.
I love our
group. It's got to be explosive devices, I guess. All right.
Okay, perfect.
I'm going to change his drive to burn shit.
So would my MOS be like either Wheelman or Smooth Talker?
It'd be something driving.
Gotcha.
That kind of thing.
Definitely go driving. I also moved around a couple of general abilities, so I had something in piloting. Just in case.
Like style.
And
smart
well,
call.
Remember, you could just hold those into your general build pool. And if we get into a situation, be like, I know how to fly this, and just slap some points down.
Sick.
And I wonder if it's every 3 points. Let me find piloting real fast. Because the fun thing about piloting is that you can just, at a certain point, if you got 5 points there, you start to declare, I can also pilot helicopters, by the way. You know, yes, I can fly single engine planes. And helicopters.
Did you ever want to pilot a rocket into space? I've got you covered.
Oh. Look, when vampires land on the moon and Dracula's building his moon base, there's one team you call.
The Ghostbusters?
Did you?
So, now that we've run through characters, and dear listener, I apologize you don't get to hear about Tyler's character too much. He's not here.
My guess is he smells like cheese. He likes cheese things and uncultured milk.
Some more cheese.
Yeah, what did I say?
I mean, everyone likes cheese. Even vegans get food to taste like cheese because they want cheese. It tastes like cheese. And, you know, even lactose intolerant people hurt themselves because they still like cheese.
Doesn't taste like
go
cheese.
Go ahead and amend his drive. Nowhere else to go without cheese. Just go ahead and put that in parentheses and leave that there for him to find. Here we go.
Ryan. where are we starting? Where's our starting location?
Kyiv, in the Ukraine.
Oh, this is perfect. I didn't know that. Okay.
No, you didn't. But that assumption was
really
already
great.
Made.
Yeah, that's great. I'm already here.
Sweet. My two languages, because I get two from having one dot, is going to be Ukrainian and English.
Yeah, I might put 1 point into languages right now.
Definitely a good idea.
Yeah, you should have points in languages.
Yeah, I'll just put one in. And you get what, two languages per?
So the way languages works is for each rating point, you are verbally fluent and literate in a number of languages other than your native tongue. So with language of one, you know three languages. Or no, sorry. Oh, wow. Wait, let me do this math. Language, yeah, you know a total of three.
Okay, your native
you
and
one
two extra.
Plus two, yeah. And then at 2 points, you get an extra three. So you get five languages plus your native one.
I'm just putting 1 point in, so I have three total, yes?
Yes.
Okay. Numbers hard now.
How close is Ukrainian and Russian? Do I need to burn a language on that?
They're pretty much the same.
I would imagine that any Eastern European operative is going to speak Russian as well. So if we speak Russian, whoever we're dealing with, I would have to imagine that Russian's going to come up.
God damn it. English, Spanish, Irish, French, Gouda, and Brie are the languages that Tyson Uncultured Notzara speaks.
Happens.
Tyler, you should have been here, bud. You should have been here.
I took Ukrainian and Japanese. I spent 2 summers abroad in Japan, lived there for about 4 months each time. I just acclimated myself for a while. I very much love the Zen gardens. got really high, just smoked a lot of weed, and it's really zenned out. Yeah,
became more. Can you say Zen Garden nice and slowly in a New Zealand accent, please?
Zen Garden. All right, you can make fun of me all you want. All right, and I'll take it. You know, I'm fine. I'll roll punches. You know.
Yeah, I went Ukrainian and Mandarin.
Do we all speak a language in common?
Yeah, English.
English. English, mother. Do you speak it?
Well, I mean, except that Yitzhak Zemir's native language is Hebrew. Yeah. So he's got to buy English.
Yeah, I put 2 points in languages for a bonus 3 languages. So I was thinking German, English, Hebrew, and Russian, but I don't know about that.
With 2 points, you know a total of 6.
Oh, 6, excuse me. I thought it was a total of 4.
You don't have to use them all now.
Oh.
Much like everything else, when you put your 2 points in languages, you can decide 6 sessions from now, hey, that 4th language I have not picked yet is actually ancient Sumerian.
Oh.
Surprise, motherfucker.
I love it.
The way this works, and so here's a good thing about this game, is this is very much, we're making it, and the way I kind of want to look at this and the way I'm thinking about, you know, directing, because that, in this, it's not a game master, it's a director. We're making a spy movie or a spy book or a spy TV show that happens to have vampires in it. It's going to be horrific and terrifying. And also, like, when you show up on episode 4 and the character is like, oh, no, pass me that. Yeah, oh, I read Sumerian. We just never saw you do it on screen. I don't need to sit there and watch you go to college.
That makes sense.
It.
Here's a montage.
Without a montage, you're spending the point, and that is the first time we're seeing you do it on screen.
Nice.
You know, oh no, throw me the shotgun because I'm a shotgunman.
Sick.
You know,
and then you turn back over your shoulder and be like, "I used to shoot clay pigeon in the backyard with father."
Knocking down swamp rats.
Right, some 1%er thing right there, but it's like, you know, the useless character, like, you know, shows off something in the end of the movie.
Gotta get it, bro. There is there's some fun shit for the more weapon-based driving, shooting, I think weapons. They all have a really great, if you put enough points in, you get a little cherry that's like, if you describe what you're doing well enough and you just make it convoluted enough or tactical enough or violent enough, or you just buy into that enough, you can refresh points.
Cool.
That you've used in your pool. It's great.
Yeah,
it's really great.
I was kind of reading about that, why I put so many points into driving, so that we can do some pretty cool stuff on a getaway.
So you can do Gear Devil.
I can't wait till you see how I deal with intestines.
By the way, Tyler, when you listen to this, man, enjoy your character page.
Oh no, I gotta see this.
For
these are really funny people.
For those of you that can't see, because you know. We're on a podcast.
This is a podcast.
His agent name is Tyson Uncultured Milk Garris. He is a
his agency association
CIA cheese consultant.
Sir, this is a moment of lactose proportions.
Just add some cheesecloth to his weapon and armor.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I gave him some water crackers.
Perfect.
I like that.
Baby bells.
Drive nowhere else to go without cheese. How about like
Yitzhak and Strom? You both have a hit threshold of 4.
Oh, thank you.
Instead of 3 because your athletics are 8 or above.
Thank you. I've not calculated this yet.
And I believe you start with 10 health and 10 stability. Is that correct?
You start with 4 each.
4 each. You got to buy them up, gentlemen. Okay. With general ability points.
Oh, I wish I would have known that. Oh,
well. And you get 70 total, correct?
You get 70 total.
So I took a little out of the side there. I did just take away my my piloting. I'll hold on to that for when we need it. And I threw. So if we're starting at a 4 health, like what's a good health to be at?
I went with 10. I went
a with bullet 10 does a D6 plus 1 damage.
Oh, shit, okay.
Okay.
Well, I mean, but that makes it realistic. Like, taking a bullet should be near deadly. Deadly to near deadly. Yep.
A closed fist is a D6 minus 2.
Holy shit, what?
Your average weapon is a D6 minus 1. Like a knife.
Oh, fuck. Way more health. I need way more health. Dude.
Seriously.
Like, and there's a lot of things in this book. If you read it a little bit, they're like, focus fire. You know?
Yeah. Everyone team up on one bad guy at one time.
Your hit threshold is important because that's what they have to roll to hit you.
Oh, fuck.
But then, like, four is pretty much what you can get.
How does one change the hit threshold?
As a human. You put you 8 get in athletics, which you did.
Which I didn't, because I'm a medic.
No. You know, you're a professional in danger situation. Heads on swivels, you know. They recommend putting a bunch of points in at least one fighting skill, you know, because you're going
to
want
I went hand-to-hand at an 8.
Cool.
Nice.
You can do slamming and throwing people that way. I mean, and that'll give you more damage and also let you change things. You can grab a guy and chuck him into a wall.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Or, you know, pick up a table leg and stake Dracula.
That I'm definitely going weapon. With that one, because that's where I'm going with weapons, is definitely a lot of the, what is that? I don't know, I'm going to throw it at him.
So if I am re-looking at my stuff properly, I put 11 into health to get 15, so I can take a couple of shots. and I'm saving 2 in case I need to do some stuff.
Okay, so I see Filch is at 3, Gibbs at 3, you got 8 in hand-to-hand, solid, 6 in mechanics, great. Since Trouble's got 1, shooting is 5, surveillance is 5, driving is a 10, disguise is an 8, that is an 8. So you're a solid face and driver.
Yeah, that was kind of the thought process.
Yeah, I mean, your interpersonal abilities are pretty.
Yeah, I literally was like, I probably went on all this, and then I got to intimidation. I was like, that's not how I roll. I'm not really trying to bully people. I'd rather just, you know, talk them through it. So, and how often do we get more points?
So the way these refresh is when you spend the night in a safe house, kind of mid operation, you can pick 3 to refresh fully.
I mean, like to get more points for these. So like,
oh, to like experience.
Yeah.
So that is experience points.
Gotcha.
And you get those after every, basically at the end of every operation, you get kind of a set amount for how long it was. I think it equates to about basically 2 or 3 a session.
Cool, because I'll like want to start working on my stability and stuff.
Yeah. And they just spend 1 for 1. I mean, you can drop in your general pool and use them that way. So I think we've pretty much covered characters. Everybody feel good? Anything you're holding on to? Anything you want to talk about?
Seems good.
Yeah, I'm just kind of fiddling with stat points a little bit here and there, shaving here, adding points there. Now that I got a better understanding of how much HP I might need.
Yeah, well, and that was, I didn't even think of HP and wasn't even thinking of that, so.
Also, one thing to think about is that you don't die at 0. When you get to 0, you are wounded enough that stuff is starting to matter to you. Stability checks are done lower. It takes you, I think, you have to spend points to actually do things. I mean, you are torn up and beaten at 0. Once you get to about -13, I believe you are. That's when you're dead. That's when you have been killed. So, there is that. I have not played this game either. You know, so
no, for sure.
I've listened to
we're all learning together.
To a couple of good actual plays. You know, let's do a couple that were run by, or one that was read by, the author Kenneth Haidt. And that was a really good one. I think I linked you all to that
one. Yeah, I got that link. I need to listen to it.
I missed that. Oh, where is that at? Is it in the
original email?
In the messages.
Okay, I'll have to go back and take a look.
Yeah, it really does. They're playing Dracula's Dossier, which is the campaign set for Dracula is real, and the book Dracula is about, it's like a sanitized operations report. And now in 2020 or 2016 when it was written, there have been 3 successive failed operations for this British intelligence agency to control Dracula. You know, they brought him in World War II and he failed. Or they failed to control him and they had to put him back down. And they tried to bring him back in the 70s, kind of in the Cold War, and they couldn't control him and they tried to put him back down. Now they're trying again. Because when you have Dracula in your back pocket, you're going to keep trying to use Dracula.
Right, he's your nuclear option.
Yeah. And the entire conceit of Dracula's Dossier is that your crew has found this dossier. You know that Dracula's real. How do you stop him? And how do you stop the other people from using him?
That's awesome.
And can you survive doing that?
That's terrifying.
It's really cool. They wrote it and they put a an annotated copy of the Book of Dracula.
Ow! Sorry, my cat jumped off of me and pulled the headphones and everything.
Noise.
We did an editing.
The old Greg laugh.
That's how I laugh. You're going to hear a lot of this. Okay, so here's a question for all of you.
Answer.
When did you four start working together? What brought you together? Why are you all a crew that has done work together?
Yeah, that's tough.
That's tough.
And also we can get to trust after that.
Hey, old man Firestick. Do you drink around town?
Yeah, I just got done burning down a cheese factory. I figured I could use a scotch. Don't tell the new guy.
He hates that.
And I've probably pulled a bullet out of you here and there.
At least.
Like, you know, from setting a fire and trying to run
probably
away.
Probably
caught
the third degree at least a few times.
Oh, he's a good customer.
Oh, man. I don't know how your character is going to tolerate my character. Because I'm going to be like, if Russell Brand and Taika Waititi, well, I mean, on drugs, old version of Russell Brand.
Fair enough.
Yeah. In that trust category, don't think I'm going to have a lot in you.
I mean, how do you think I'm so happy and chipper all the time? I've got to dull all the negativity in my life, or else I will fall into a sleeping pile of sadness. So, have a seat. Do you want some morphine? No? You're not a kicker? No?
Yeah, see,
I think I might take some mescaline for myself, and...
or it's just going to end up, unfortunately, you'll just be burning contacts and beating up all your drug dealers.
No, I make it. It's my drugs. It's all for personal use. I'm a physician.
This is medicinal. I wrote myself a script.
I'm allowed to do that. At least, you know, if I was still practicing, which I am, but not within any sort of registry, if you understand what I'm saying.
Not yet legal, you know.
So if I'm going to put
what
this
is
together,
legal? I mean.
The way this team has met so far, if I may interrupt, I apologize.
Oh, please.
This will go for 20 minutes if I don't interrupt it. It sounds like Yitzhak and Strom met drinking. It sticks?
Or just...
Some time ago?
I frequent multiple bars, so it didn't necessarily have to be sticks, but...
I heard to call it match sticks. I'm a big
fan.
So
you met... recognized each other... as operatives and started pairing off and working together. And then Tane, through dint of being a doctor and an underground doctor, got pulled in as the reliable medical contact. And I'm going to guess that Tyson Garris is the digital operative that you guys needed to kind of rent out the squad. Does that sound about right?
I reached out to Tyler's character because Styx needed a good charcuterie board and he knew he was the man to help fill out that cheese platter. So really, really.
Is that code word cheddar? Cheddar go, cheddar go.
That's the safe word.
The safe word's Gruyere. Come on.
Oh.
Classy. That's a classy
cheese. And
we all
know scouting is Prove alone because it's the loneliest cheese.
Boo. Put in a boo.
Hey, that's my joke. I made it.
Put in a boo track right here. Thank you.
And they killed Hunter, and there's much rejoicing.
How long have you guys been working together as a team?
3 months, 4 days, and 21 hours and 11 minutes.
Yeah, about 3 months.
Yep.
Okay. How many minor operations have you guys done, or, you know, major operations have you guys done in the past 3 months, successfully or unsuccessfully?
I'd say probably four.
Right, like when you say that, do you mean like when I'm in the field, or when he just drags him in here bleeding and I patch him up?
It's all work, man.
Because I mean, I can't even count that. I mean, they all blend together.
So let's talk about trust.
Is that a thing on
not
the
as
network,
far as I can throw him
the character sheet?
That's a thing in the game. So you begin with 5 trust points.
Okay.
From among your fellow players, pick the one who you trust the most and give them 3. Then pick the one you trust the least and give them 0 trust. And then you give 1 trust to each relationship with the other, up to 2 other members of your team. So you trust somebody 3, you trust somebody 0, and the other people get 1.
Gotta say, give my 3 to Strom.
Right back at you there, Firestarter.
Dude, let's get drunk about it.
Where do we put...
Can I just give everyone 1?
I was like, can I give...
No.
Yeah, can I keep these points for myself?
I don't want to have a 3 for the cheese, man.
That's fair.
It doesn't have to be reciprocal. You can trust Strom more than he trusts you.
Where do I put that?
I love this guy. I hate him.
I trust him with my life. I wouldn't trust him with a stick of cheese.
I think that I'm going to put my number 3 trust in you suck.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to pronounce it that way every time.
Wait, do we just put that down on a random line or where?
Anywhere here on your... If you want to put it down below the bottom. Strom, who's your 3 trust?
Is going to be Yitzhak.
Suck it, Waka.
Who's your 1?
My 1 is going to be for the cheese man.
Yes.
My 3 is going to be for you, Suck. And Strom keeps giving me a nasty look every time I shoot up.
Weird, right?
So Tyson is 1, Strom is 0.
I don't think he's doing heroin. I think I'm going to take that back.
My 1 is going to be...
He's everyone's 1.
Okay, Yitzhak. How you doing there, bud?
Pretty good.
Who's your 3?
It's going to be Mr. Alexander. Drink it, buddy.
Okay. Who's your 1?
Doctor that keeps my dumbass alive.
Okay, Tane is a 1. Tyson is a 0.
Do not trust the man with all the electronics. If he sets a fire, what I like so far reasons.
Is you all distrust someone else. Like 1-0 for Tane, 1-0 for Tyson, 1-0 for Strom. You can use these trust points in situations where you're both together as a general point.
Oh. Cool.
If you need to if you are in a situation where you need to shoot someone and you have no shooting left, you can pull a trust point and use that.
I like that.
That's when that person like ducks at the last minute because they know you're gonna take the shot.
Exactly.
Nice.
That's nice. Cool.
You know, they do the step in front of and shove somebody and make it work for you. You can spend an experience point to get more trust for someone. And if something changes in this game, if your character is treated poorly by someone else, you can at the end of an operation move 1 trust point away from someone to someone else.
Oh. Cool.
So your relationships can change. And so think about this. Like, I'll make sure that you guys each get a copy of this, or I'll put it in your character sheets. But Strom trusts Yitzhak in this equation, and he trusts Tyson. He does not trust Tane. If they say, hey, Strom and Tane, go do this thing, remember how you feel about them.
Yep, he's a druggie.
Do I have to? I mean, he kind of has a scent of him about him. You know what I'm saying?
That scent
and
is
and that's the
cold
kind of thing we're
anger.
At. I will work with Tyler and Tyson and see how his trust works out. But this is a pretty, it's an important mechanic that can really do a lot. You can also betray that trust.
But could there also be moving moments within the storyline where trust is gained?
Yes, by spending experience points.
Dope. Or shifting experience points from, like, this guy fucking turned on me, but this guy actually came through. He gets a point.
Or, like, I really needed Tyson to come through for something, and he failed the role, but, like, Tane succeeded in it and saved me. And then I'm like, oh, man, I trust Tane a lot more than I trust that bullshit Tyson now.
You guys got it.
I love it.
You can betray trust.
On purpose?
Yes. When you betray trust, you spend their trust to hamper them. So you basically change trust into betrayal. So every 1 point of betrayal you spend, you take 3 from an ability die. Or you cancel one of their abilities for the scene. You sabotage them in what they're doing.
Damn.
I'll want to know how or what happens.
I replaced all of Tane's morphine with sugar water.
He's now dead.
Because he's also incredibly diabetic.
You can also betray them to make yourself better.
That was beautiful. Ooh, that hurt my brain. Laughed so hard. Blood pressure skyrocketing.
Okay. Betrayal's the whole thing. I don't want to do too much of PvP in this game. I think it's going to be enough fun without it. There's rules for PvP in this game. If it happens, it happens. You know, I'm not going to say it'll never happen. I personally like DMing and directing a game where people work together as a team. It's just, I find that it makes...
Sometimes it's fun to have a little conflict, but if overall, if it doesn't make the story proceed and you're detracting from it, it's eh. But if you're building narrative and story intention, and like that works for a story. So it's all about like the proper moderation of PvP dickishness.
Exactly. And if we ever figure that, hey, this is something we'd actually really love to do, like let's look in.
We can get there, so to add it
exactly.
In.
Cool.
Okay. So we've covered trust. Characters are built. You all know you're starting in Kyiv and you've worked together for at least 3 months. You've done successful operations together. I want to go around Robin. I'm going to start with Hunter because his name is first on the sheets for me. Hunter.
Hi.
What is something you love about spy movies?
What do I love about spy movies? I like the I always like the tension, you know, when like someone's got a drop on you, but you're like in polite company, and so you both know, and they know, but there's other people that don't know, and you have to keep the covers, and you're both in that same situation where you both have to keep your cover, but you both are trying to kill each other, and so it's like all low key, like how do we be spies and keep our like murderous intent on the down low.
Perfect. So, like, revealed cover in public situations.
Or hiding, like, tense situations and hiding cover.
Jacob, what's
something
you love about?
Which is something I did not even plan for this character.
Well, but you're a wanted murderer in New Zealand.
But who really?
New Zealand works with Interpol.
I mean, sometimes. They don't take half the calls.
New Zealand is there for the Five Eyes intelligence organization.
I mean, New Zealand SIS isn't all that. I used to work there, you know. I mean, I was in the morticians, I was in the morgue, but I mean, it's not always cracked up. Like.
Thank you for being a wanted criminal. Just as a game master to a player. Thank
That's
you.
That's awesome.
Oh, you're welcome. I didn't do it. I keep telling everyone.
It was the one-armed man.
No, just lots of, you know, blood.
Jacob, what is something you love about spy movies?
Betrayal. There's always a good betrayal. Or a lot of them. Or a lot of good betrayals. That's a hallmark for me,
double
for sure.
Double cross. Triple cross.
Yep, exactly. Everybody's got an angle. Everybody's got drive. You can't trust anybody. It's great.
Hey, Wes. What do you love about spy movies?
I'm big on the planning portions, right? Where, like think of like Mission Impossible, or not necessarily a spy movie, but like the Ocean's movies, like these these elaborate schemes that somewhere in there, a stick's getting thrown in the spokes, and how you react is really gonna either make the movie or break the movie.
Yes.
Dope. Hunter, actually no, we're gonna go backwards now. Hey Wes, what's your favorite thing about vampire movies? Or vampires?
Oh man, so probably my favorite vampire movie is a little more modern one. It's 28 Days of Night.
Ooh.
And it's just the sheer brutality of it. They have zero they're machines. They're killing machines, right? Dude, so
that long panning shot where it's just up above the city looking down and you're just seeing the vampires grab and snag people and the splashes of red on the white snow. Yeah. It's just eerily too long, just long that enough to make so you feel good. Uncomfortable. That scene is a masterpiece on how to build dread and terror. If you haven't seen the movie, everyone, I highly recommend it, at least for that scene alone, based off the great graphic novel.
Yeah, and then the second best scene is, I can kill anything, I can kill these. That guy's amazing.
Just drives the, what is that? It's not a thresher because they're in Alaska. Is it a backhoe? You can drive a backhoe into that saloon and just like level it and light off. Oh God, it's so good. Jacob, what's your favorite thing about vampire movies?
That's a good question.
The shiny skinned ones.
There's a certain level of style and of charm that you associate with a proper vampire. Like even going back to the fact that they have to be like invited into the home and things like that. There's a level of cunning and a level of charisma that just makes vampires sexy as fuck, no matter what they do.
Hunter, what do you love about vampire movies?
I love / hate how goddamn creepy they can be. I remember being like an 8-year-old child watching a Vincent Price Dracula movie, and it's like the Mina Harker type role, or it's not Vincent Price. I'm sorry, it's I can't remember. Damn it. Christopher Lee. But one of the Mina Harker type characters, the first woman he turns, and she comes crawling out of the grave and she's like looking right at the camera and her eyes were like reflective and she looked so eerie and otherworldly and her movements were just inhuman and just super freaky as a kid. And I was just like, I hate vampires. I hate everything about vampires. I'm going to read all about and learn all the lore about vampires just so I could kill them if they ever existed. And I Am Legend, the book, where it's kind of like a Night of the Living Dead approach, where it's like, you know, a guy he holds himself up because he can't get out of the building because at night they can, you know, they're all about and they're all clamoring over trying to get to him, waiting for him, and he's just got to hold out and just make it till morning and then try to survive and scavenge. But yeah, it's the creepiness and the wariness of the foe. So kind of like the 30 Days a Night style as well. It's like that type of, they're scary.
Okay, I just made some notes, gentlemen.
We just fucked ourselves.
No, like, I think anybody wanting to make a story should make a story that the people who are playing in it want to play, you know? If I just made a whole thing about, like, psychic vampires who were super handsome and really subtle and just best friends with everybody, it sounds like everyone would be like, this is pretty lame. Like, this is not a vampires or spy movie. Like, you made a pod people game, Ryan. I don't want to play that. Okay, I think we've pretty much covered a little bit of everything. Is there... Does anybody have any questions about the game or how we're going to do this or what you want?
Do we roll dice?
Yeah, you're going to need 1d6.
Dope. I'll have that.
If you have Monopoly, you have 1d6.
Oh, damn, I don't. But I have Risk, so I'm good. Yeah, this sounds like it's going to be a whole lot of fun.
Oh, hey, he looks like he's going to be able to jump in.
Well, what we can do is bring in Tyler. We'll key him up to speed with everything we just talked about. And we'll ask him some of the same questions.
No doubt.
Bam.
So
he's only 2 hours late.
Close enough for jazz. So we could also change his nickname to the Butcher of Bree.
Oh, I like that better.
Yeah, do it quick. Do it now. Tyson Butcher of Bree Garrett.
Got him.
Gouda. I just noticed the language is the Gouda.
Oh, yeah. Don't sleep on the Gouda. Hey, there he is.
Hey, buddy.
So, why don't you tell me a little bit about Tyson Garris there, bud?
At a young age, he found himself to be incredibly good with software and bypassing other people's abilities to keep him out technologically, which led then to him getting bored with that and finding an interest in actually entering himself, mostly like museums, the occasional bank when he needed the money. And after, well, almost a decade of that, ended up getting picked up by, the CIA, getting caught on by them, getting flagged and getting picked up and given some options of, you know, do what you do, but for us, and, you know, teach us how to stop you. Or go spend lots and lots of time in a very dark hole. And so he joined up with the CIA, improved upon his already existing skills, and was eventually awarded his freedom.
So did Tyson basically work himself, you know, you were contracted, you worked with them instead of going to jail? And then you worked yourself out of that contract and into the private industry.
Yes.
Okay. How long have you been in the private sector?
Exactly.
And how old are you?
Sorry. I'm thinking that he would be like 38, probably. Been in the private sector for 8 years after 6 years with the CIA.
Okay. That sounds great. You have been, so just so you know, we've kind of done a little bit of legwork on the crew's story together. I'll give you the down and dirty on that. The crew at large, being the four of you, have worked together as a cohesive unit for only about 3 months. You're still a relatively fresh little unit. You've done, in that 3 months though, four operations that have been successful. Those will come up as they need to, I suppose, unless you guys have anything particular you want to say you've done. If you do, I'd say leave me at least two spots where I can just have somebody show up who worked for you or with you. So some questions for you regarding Tyson's symbol, his solace, and his safety. Your symbol is a small brown button sewn on the inside of your jacket. What does that button symbolize?
That came from a stuffed animal of that I had bought for my son on the day that he was born. The day that he was to be born. Him and my wife perished in childbirth.
Yeah, depressing.
So It's like the eye of a bunny rabbit that I cut off of the stuffed animal and sewed onto the lining of my jacket.
We'll get there. Your solace is Beatrice Cromwell, who's a bartender and your childhood best friend?
Yep. grew up together. She knew my wife. She's known my family. She knows basically that I used to be a shithead and what I used to get into, but not exactly how deep I got.
Okay. Did you guys talk, you know, semi-regularly at least?
A couple times a week.
Okay. So just so you know, kind of an important bit that came up late in the conversation is at this point in time, you know, as of right now, you all are in Kiev. You have done, you know, the last job you did left you here.
Okay.
I don't know where you all are based. It sounds like Kiev,
right?
With two of the characters having ties to a bar there, you know, yours is out of town, out of country. Yeah. Your safety is in New York?
Yeah, very upper New York, right on the border almost of Canada. An old cabin in the woods that's fairly well hidden and is barely able to be... like, if someone stumbled upon it, they wouldn't go to it for shelter. So okay. it's a safe, fairly remote place.
Your drive is there's nowhere else to go. No family, nothing else, no one to work for. You could not disappear into Silicon Valley. Like, this is what you have?
Exactly. I tried to use the technology side, my proficiency with technology for the betterment of myself. Just kept ended up going down into a dark place and into a dark hole, and lost all ties with all family, and
okay.
Miss Cromwell is the only bit of my past that I still have left.
Let's see, that covers most of it. The story I'm making is it's a spy movie. It's a spy show.
Okay.
You know, it's also a horror movie. At a certain point, that will happen sooner rather than later. But this is, I want it to be a television show. I mean, the game master of this is called the director, which I like because all intelligence agencies have a director, and so do all movies. And so I will try not to be too up in my ass about it, but you will hear me say, like, we're going to open with, I mean, just a sweeping shot, you know, across the Black Sea as we roll past Odessa, you know.
And, panning left.
Yeah, you know, as you kick open the door and we see, you know, framed is Itzhak with a tank of gasoline in his left hand and a flare in the right. But right in front of him, you know, center frame, there's a vampire with a shotgun, you know. That's how I'm going to try to think about this.
Not as good a
Tobo
with a
this.
Shotgun, but a good follow-up movie.
But still terrifying.
Vampire with a shotgun.
That's how I'm going to think about this and how I'd love for you guys to think about it too. There's things in the buildup of this, which I've talked to the others about. You know, if you look at weapons, you know, you have 8 points in weapons, so you have a cherry. You know, and that is, I believe, is that the Jim Bowie's...
You can throw...
Yeah, you can just throw a weapon. Other
balanced
things...
items. That's what I have.
You know, I think shooting... If you have, like, an 8 in shooting, one of the... Or there's an optional rule, at least, for shooting, where if you have a certain amount of points in it, if you just describe what you're doing when you kick open this door, and you say, like, I kick open the door, I sweep left to right, you know, I cut my piece of the pie, and there's just the dull thud of... the buttstock against my shoulder as it repeatedly slams into my shoulder as I just take aim and just drop lead downrange into every person that moves in this room. And the smell of cordite fills the air and everyone's half blinded by the muzzle flash. Like, if you say that, there are mechanics to you can just refresh a couple of points in your shooting pool that you've used already. Definitely do that. Please, like, please do that, because it's going to sound a lot cooler. It's going to look a lot cooler for all of us playing. I'm just a big
fan of
that.
Basically, you're going to give us refreshing points if we paint fancy word pictures.
Where it's mechanically suggested. Cool. So probably not for cryptography or astronomy.
Oh, you don't know. I can make a telescope look real cool.
Anybody can. It's you, buddy. Tyler, do you have any questions right now? I know you kind of came in at the end. Oh, I've got questions for you. Sorry. Time out. Hey, Tyler.
I was going to say.
What's your favorite thing about a spy movie?
I don't know. There's lots of dope things. I like watching people rappel down buildings and kick in through windows.
Good damn answer.
It's a great answer.
is that what you're looking for?
Straight up, man. Like the action of a spy movie. Like what they do, how they do it.
Dang it.
Dope stunts.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't love dope stunts? And what's
need to bump up my athletics?
What's your favorite thing about vampire movies?
The inherent difficulty that the protagonists are put under, the stress that they have to deal with, not really understanding like how to deal with these monsters. You know, the rise and fall of them.
So just is it being outmatched by an eternal creature?
Yeah, seeing a mortal outclass the undead is that was nice to watch. Watching them go through the perils and getting to the point of being able to them away.
What you know about these three other characters? I need you to tell me how much you trust them. The way this works is you're going to pick one person with a trust of three. You trust them the most out of the situation. The next will have a trust of one. And the last will have a trust of zero from you. Trust, beyond being a kind of a narrative exposure, trust is also, you can use trust points as general ability points in a scene where you're both together.
Alrighty.
That's you two working together. That's you knowing that if you push right, he's going to push left. You know, you're going to high-low this vampire or zombie or whatever to work together better. So, who do you trust the most? Strom, the ex-DEA driver and face man. Yitzhak, the ex-Mossad bang and burner and infiltrator. Or Tane, the ex-New Zealand SIS medic and current underground doctor.
In order, Strom, followed by Kane, followed by Yisuk.
Interesting.
And I was going to change mine to put the one in Yisuk and the three in Tyson. His backstory really resonates with mine. It's like you lost your wife and child. I fucking feel that. I feel that hard.
Hell yeah.
This is dope. What a fun game this is going to be.
And Tyson absolutely has a drinking problem, but preaches on and on to people who have drug problems about the bad they're doing for themselves and how horrible it is for their body and etc.
Oh, fuck. I'm changing my trust again. Changing it back.
Yeah.
See, I don't like drinking.
Yeah, I love booze, drugs, and...
Also, like, you shouldn't take alcohol with your drugs.
Just I've got rules for addiction tests, so...
Oh, my God, just so yes, you know. Please. Oh, that makes me very happy.
The one thing we haven't talked about really at all, which is... Because we've had a lot of fun talking about characters. One great thing about a Session Zero is we can talk about kind of limits for people. Knights Black Agents, by dint of it being a thriller spy game and a vampire horror game, is that it can get, I'm sure, pretty gnarly, depending on how people are. There are things that, like, I'm just not going to touch. Like, in this game, there will never be just, like, flagrant child abuse, you know?
I was going to say child trafficking.
There's never really going to be, beyond like, you know, vampires are, you know, attractive and mesmerizing. That's because that's part of vampires, you know, be it Dracula or Bela Lugosi or Christopher Lee or... even fucking Twilight. There's a natural like sexuality attraction there, but I'm never going to sit here and like role play like vampires getting ready to mind rape anyone. That's not going to happen in this game. I don't want to do it. It squeaks me out. Like, and I don't want to do it to any of you because that just seems strange.
I want people kidnapped. What do you guys not for blood bag purposes only? I want non-sexual vampires. I want carnivorous undead.
Yeah, the 30 days and night vampires. Like,
well, it's like, I take that back. Like, you know, during, like, you know, if you're going with a Bram Stoker's approach, like, can they come out during the day? Are they, like, severely weakened during the day but can still survive? Like, we don't know what type we're dealing with. You know, and getting that spy movie, like, subterfuge, like, are they, aren't they, is always fun, too.
Well, no, I mean, maybe I'm not being clear enough. Like, what in this game is a no-go? Like, what if it shows up in this game? Are you going to be like, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I don't want to role-play that in this game.
I think kind of on the same wavelength as you, Rai. You know, some of those really touchy topics, like child trafficking, human trafficking, other than for the source of food for vampires. Like, that makes sense. You know, they're kidnapping people and eating them. Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't want to, like, walk into a vampire brothel where a bunch of people are hypnotized into them being just bank slaves. Like, no, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly, exactly.
Jacob?
Same page as everybody else at this point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that going to be the motto of our podcast, No Bank Slaves?
Yeah.
Good motto.
No fan bangers.
Jacob?
Yes, sir.
Or sorry, Tyler. Same page?
Yeah, outside of, you know, flagrant just beating a gang of children to death and horrific rape, whatever violence, sexual violence, there we go, is everything should be kosher.
Right, and it also sounds like if something is stumbled upon that we're not thinking of now, no one here will hesitate to necessarily just pipe up and say, hey, maybe not that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It sounds like, I mean, we're all getting to know each other pretty well and learning. I don't think it's going to take long for this to be a pretty open table. There's the concept of an X card in a lot of tabletop games nowadays. We're a digital game. You can't just like whip out a card, throw it on the table and make me cut a scene. But if whatever we're doing for whatever reason hits you in a weird way, you can just like throw it in chat if you don't want to talk about it and be like, nope, I'm good. Or shoot me a text message if you don't want to tell in front of everybody and we'll get it changed for you. Like, I have no problem glossing past something to make it a little easier. I don't want to make anybody uncomfortable in a game I'm going to play ever. You know, I want everyone to have fun, even though it's like a grown-up dope game.
I was going to say, at the same time, he wants to make you uncomfortable in, like, the heebie-jeebie scared way, not the, oh, God, shudder, creeper yeah. vibe.
I do want you to turn the lights on in your house. Like, that is a positive. You know, that's what I'm shooting for.
I think we're all in agreement. Besides, you're the one running it, so you get to control the narrative.
Yeah, but there's also, if I'm doing something and I think it's, oh, here's a great, cool idea I've got, and it's something not that we've talked about already. It's just some different thing. I want everybody to feel comfortable. Like, no, like cut the tape on that. Let's just move past it. And we can very easily fade to black and move past something or rewind something and say, okay, let's not have that happen. I have followed enough like online role-playing games that have been podcasts or streams or whatever, where a up to that point, upstanding DM has just done some weird shit because they thought it was a great story point and made everyone at the table uncomfortable. And if that ever started to happen, just like give me a tap, you know?
And for me, it's like, I'm not afraid to be vocal. If I get like, I'm like, that's a line you're crossing for me, brother. Like, I will tell you straight up. Yeah, like same. If I get uncomfortable.
Good. That's what I want. So, okay. I think that's everything we need. I mean, I think we've got a good set on characters. Yeah.
Real quick, I'm assuming so, gone through and looked at points and made sure that we had all of our skills covered.
Anybody has a point.
Things of that nature.
Or archaeology, that's for sure.
I took archaeology instead of vampirism or vampirology.
So, any points in art history? Criminology?
I have criminology.
Okay.
I have one point in criminology.
Are you studying to be a freaking Batman?
I have 3 points in criminology.
I've got art history.
Matt, I used to work for the SIS.
And if there's anything anybody does not have, we have spare general or investigative points and spare general build points to cover things as needed.
What I figure, well, the hope is, after the first couple sessions, to build up a little bank of just kind of whatever points to throw into things like that. Like, I'm hoping, like, on our very first outing, it's not like, oh, by the way, you're investigating the accounting firm of... ah, damn.
Let me change my notes real fast. Okay. And if all else fails, call a contact. You know? I think calling a contact and...
Because they can have skills, right?
Yeah, exactly. You put points in them. I mean, oh, shit, I need an accountant? Well, did you know that I know a guy who's an accountant and he works in Belgium? I'm going to call him. That is always an option. It is very much the flashbacks out of Blades in the Dark, kind of. It's your ace in the hole. There are other things. The back of the book has kind of a good mix of different sheets that'll tell you different things. Like, here's different thriller, like the thriller chase rules and different combat rules for you and things you can use without getting too terrible. But do just kind of give them a once over, you know? And I think it's going to take us all a little time to be 100% on this game because we're human beings with lives. But I'm excited to play it.
Yeah, it has a very, like, Blades-esque vibe to me. And it took us a while to really get that stride, but that was a hell of a game.
It's a great game. Yeah, I love Blades. Same. I get a really heavy Blades in the Dark, like, squad of people against just a world that does not give a shit about you or actively wants you to die.
The skills, honestly, feel very similar to, like, Shadowrun, too.
Yeah. Very much
just
so.
Just not as dice heavy.
My dwarf pilot.
Man, I did not know how to run Shadowrun when we played those 3 sessions, and that was ridiculous. What a time to be alive. Okay. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to chat, I think, you know, 2 weeks probably from now will be our first session.
This has been a Role Playing Grenade podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can find Role Playing Grenade at RPGrenadePod on Twitter and at Role Playing Grenade on Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Our intro and outro music was written and recorded by Stephen Hopeshaw. Thanks again, bud. And until next time, keep your friends close.